So today, so the series is kind of, we're kind of going deep, hopefully deeper and deeper. And last week we talked about, we looked at the story of Mary in Luke 1 and how it was a great example of how she was able to surface the questions and the issues of her heart, whether they're doubts, questions, how, why, right? And direct them towards God, which opened her to receive an answer from the Lord that could overshadow those questions and issues, okay? And so we're going into that because our actions come from within, from our heart, okay? It's a very complex set of things, right? Our environment affects us, our background, what we're thinking about, how we're feeling at the moment, but it all comes out of our heart, okay? And so we're going to go into the heart a little bit more today. And today's scripture is Psalm 51. And in particular, we're going to look at verse 6. It says, "Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart." Okay? Just read it slowly and let's take it in, okay? And this is a psalm. It's a prayer of David to the Lord. And he's saying, "You delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart." Okay? So we're going to look at that under three different headings. So the first one is, what does this verse tell us about the heart? And it's interesting because the context, I just quoted here verse 6, but I'm going to read to you verses 1 through 5, okay? So this is a Psalm of David after actually he had been confronted by a guy named Nathan, who was a prophet. What he had done was he had slept with another man's wife. And then he had that man killed in battle, okay, because David was the king. Okay? And he had been confronted. And so this is the prayer that he composed after that. He says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions." That's a synonym for sin. It's when you go past what you know is right. "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words, blameless in your judgment." Verse 5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Okay? So these are the preceding verses. And then all of a sudden in verse 6, he changes and he says, "Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart." It's a very positive and hopeful verse. Do you guys agree with me there? That it's a hopeful and positive verse? Okay. And so the heart, actually, apart from the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, okay, if we're honest, it can be, there's a lot of good things we can do with our heart, but it's also a factory of sin, okay? And so David was a great guy, okay? And if you read the story of David the king, God raised him up, okay? But in one moment, instead of going out to battle, he stayed back. He was on the roof. He was tempted. He saw a beautiful woman. And he said, "I'm going to have her." Okay? And if we're honest, we realize, you know, our heart, we try to live the Christian life. We try to be good. But there is this sin in us. And if we lose, let go of control, it's a factory of sin. Okay, it's capable of a lot of things. Okay, but the amazing thing is that God wants our hearts, and I'm going to use this phrase, to become a storehouse of truth and wisdom. Okay, and so it says that God delights in truth, in the inward being, and God teaches us wisdom in the secret heart. Okay, and so it's interesting because he uses this word, inward being, and secret heart. So, I've kind of drawn our heart as a set of concentric circles, right? And I take the secret heart to be the furthest in. Secret is like that unknowable place. We don't even know what's there sometimes, okay? The inward. And so this is the secret heart. And the inward being. And it says that God delights in truth and teaching us wisdom there. Okay. And we started this series by looking at Caleb, right? Those of you who've been with us for the past 6 weeks. See, the difference between Caleb and the other spies, and those 10 spies, was that this is our premise. Even though the Old Testament doesn't tell us, they all faced the same thing. They all went to spy out the land, and they all saw the giants and the fortified cities. They all had the same input, right? But Caleb had a different spirit. Okay, he had truth and wisdom in the secret heart. God had been working in him, okay? So that even though the inputs were the same, they had different outputs. They had different reactions to the same thing, okay? Now, wisdom, when it says that God teaches us wisdom in the secret heart, okay? Wisdom, it's not something we're born with. It's not like a talent. Wisdom is not a talent or a gift. Wisdom is something that you gain over time. Okay? And so, just a definition of wisdom I found is, it's the soundness of action or decision with regard to the application of experience, knowledge, and good judgment. Okay? So it comes through experience, it comes through learning, and when you have wisdom, you're able to make a good decision. You're able to react well, okay, versus a foolish person, okay, or a not wise person. Now, I don't think our culture is that into us growing in wisdom, okay? But the amazing thing about this verse is that it says that God delights in that. God delights in that, and God also teaches us. And so, when we become a Christian, we talked about this last week. When we become a Christian, remember, we become a new creation. We're a new creation. What does that really mean? I like to think of it as that in this inner place, there's a new creation. There's a new center of being. Okay? And that's purely by the grace of God. That's purely by the work of Jesus, okay, who died for us. Okay, but once that happens then as Christians, what we want to do is we talked about this maybe 2 sessions ago, we have a responsibility. There's a godly responsibility. And what we want to do is we want to feed this, we want to cultivate this, we want to fill it and be taught and have our new creation be taught with, filled with wisdom and truth, right? You can starve that, or you can feed them. Yeah.
Another thing about the Christian is that, and Paul says this in Philippians 3, okay, now Paul, he had the best background possible. Okay, he says he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. Right? He came from the right family, from the right tribe. He was of the highest class. He was well educated. He says he was blameless. He knew everything, right? But what does he say? He says, compared to knowing Jesus, all of this, I put no confidence in it. Okay? And so, a Christian is someone who's gone through enough life, and they said, they realized, you know, apart from God's work in my heart, I have no good. I have no confidence in myself. I don't, even though there might be good parts of my heart and my mind, I don't have any confidence in that. I put all my confidence in Christ's work. Okay? So we're going to get there. We're going to talk about how God teaches us wisdom, okay? But what I want to get at with this point is that we want to catch a vision. We want to see our hearts properly, okay? And we want to have a vision that by God's grace, we're going to be filled with wisdom and truth in our inmost being. Every single person here. Okay? I just take that in, right? Like, that's what God wants for us. He wants each one of us to be a storehouse of truth and wisdom. Okay? What does this verse tell us about God? Point number two. You know what? Before I go there, actually, there's no clock in this room, so I don't want to go too long, okay? But I became a Christian when I was 18 years old in college, okay? And I honestly have to say I had zero wisdom, okay? Because I grew up in an immigrant family, and we're just surviving, you know. But I became a Christian, and I found, and as I was growing as a Christian, I found that God, like, I would have these understandings that I could never have on my own. Okay? So for example, I remember my second year as a Christian, okay? I was part of a Bible study like this. Okay? And there were like six leaders. And I was the youngest leader. I was the youngest Christian. Okay? But the leaders, they were more mature than me. But I saw that they would kind of fight with each other. It's kind of weird, okay? Because Christians aren't perfect, okay? Right? And these were, whatever, 20-year-old Christians, but the leaders who were supposed to be more mature than me, they would actually, it wasn't very obvious, but I could tell something is not right here. We're not unified, you know? And like each side, there was like two on this side and two on this side. They would try to they would talk to me in such a way. They would try to get me on their side, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? They would say, they would share their perspective, right? And then you're like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And you talk to them, you know. And I'm like, no, both of you are wrong because you're doing this, right?
Yeah.
But I realized that I was able to discern that, like that was God teaching me wisdom in the secret heart through the Word. Because as I read the Word of God, as I learned things from the Word of God, I knew, no, this is not how you're supposed to act. It says you're supposed to love one another. You're supposed to be in unity, right? And And then so I confronted them. I said, look, this is not right, you know? But when we become Christian, we begin to experience that. We begin to experience God teaching us wisdom in the inmost heart. It's like things that we would never have known before, he teaches us, okay? As we read the word, as we study the word, and as we're open to God, okay? I want to focus on this part. You delight in truth in the inward being. Okay? And in this psalm, the word delight is used several times. Okay? And so it says, God delights in truth. But in other verses, I think it's verse 16 and 17, it says, but you do not delight in sacrifice. You do not delight in burnt offering. Okay? And what I take from that is that God is more interested in the integrity of my heart than my outward behavior or the results of my life. Okay? And it says, actually, what he wants is a broken and a contrite heart. It's a humble heart, not a proud heart. God is not impressed if you are successful and you made $1 million, you're an influencer, or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. He's not impressed with that. He is interested in transforming your heart, transforming our heart, so that we become a storehouse of truth and wisdom. Okay? Now the thing is, I'm going to use this word storehouse, right? Is a lot of times, though, we have our eyes on the wrong thing. So, a storehouse, right? I think of a storehouse as, it's like your garage, or like it's a little house, it's a little barn, right? But you keep putting things in there. Right, so you keep filling it up with little things, and over time you have more and more and more. It grows, right? It's like a little bank. You're depositing truth and wisdom into there, yeah? And so here's the storehouse of truth and wisdom. And a lot of times we want different storehouses in our lives. So for example, we might want material things, okay? Or we might want some kind of success. I don't know what it is. Or maybe it's popularity or something, right? So, and this is where you have to ask yourself, like, where are my eyes focused? What storehouse am I wanting to get filled? Okay? Because, I mean, God does want to bless us. Okay? Like he's not wanting us to be poor. He is not wanting us to be failures, right? He has this for us, but these are secondary. Right? People who focus on this, that's not real. That's a different kind of Christianity. Okay? But God is, what this verse tells us is that God is primarily interested in this. Okay? And honestly, guys, once you get a taste of this, you'll want this too. Okay? Because when your life is transformed, when you see someone who's a terrible person transformed by God, wow, that's powerful. It's interesting because, my family, okay, it's not my family, but Amanda's family, Amanda comes from a big family. So she's the youngest of five. And they're all married, and they all have kids. So I have two kids, so they're one of 11 cousins. Okay? And Christmas is very exciting for them because they get gifts from every aunt and uncle. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine like how many gifts they get. And I mean, it's crazy, right? And they have grandparents. And they have my parents, right? So Christmas is a very, very exciting time. Okay? But there's a part of it I don't like, okay? Because what happens is that they use this Google Doc or this Google Sheet, they use a spreadsheet, and what the kids do, what the aunts and uncles do is they'll say, what do you guys want? Yes. Right? And then you'll just fill it out with what you want. Which is okay because you want to help them, because they're asking for help, right? Because it's hard to get something for a teenager, honestly. And when they're 5 or 4, you're like, okay, get them a cute sweatshirt, right? But as they get older, it's harder and harder. So my kids are 15 and 12. But I said, you know what? I want you to learn how to just receive gifts. Like, I don't want you to put, because what I don't want them to do is find something on the internet and put the link. It's not even like, yes, I would like, it's not like I would like a basketball. It's like, I want Wilson brand A2000 from Amazon. Right? Huh?
Here's the link.
Exactly. And people do that. And I told my kids, we're not going to do that. And they were just so unhappy with me. Because, see, like, if they do that, they're going to get exactly what they want. The material storehouse is going to be full. Right? But at a certain point, that's good, right? It's good to get that filled up. But I want something more for them. I want them to be like, you know what? I want this, and I'm going to just trust them. And even if it's not the exact thing, learn how to receive it graciously. I think to me that's more important, right? That's like a little analogy of God. We look at things with our limited vantage points, right? But God, He has something deeper. He has something better for us. Okay? And so let's get into the meat of it, which is, it says, You teach me wisdom. You teach me. I think if we slow down, it really struck me how powerful that phrase is. You teach me. Okay, guys, we have a teacher. Like, there is someone who is committed to you who wants to teach you wisdom and truth. God. Okay? You guys, for those of you who are older, maybe at least 30 or 40 years old, do you guys remember a song called Personal Jesus by Depeche Mode? Craig's like, yeah.
I remember it.
Covered by Marilyn Manson.
Okay? It's a totally secular song. Okay? It's not glorifying to God at all. But guys, we have our own personal counselor. We have our own wonderful counselor. That's the name of Jesus, right? One of the names of Jesus is Wonderful Counselor. Okay? We have our own wonderful counselor. Okay? That's an amazing thing. Now the problem is that God is wanting to teach us, but we're not very teachable. Okay? It's not God who's the problem, it's us. Okay? Because if we're not teachable, then it doesn't matter if you have the most wonderful counselor. You're gonna miss it. Okay? And so I you know how people talk about teachable moments? Okay? Here's the thing is like we have to live our lives in such a way that
we recognize teachable moments when God is trying to teach us. Now, this is difficult because he's invisible, right? He doesn't, most of the time, he doesn't talk to us in an audible voice. He's hard to figure out, right? So how do we recognize these teachable moments? So last week we talked about how those issues in our heart, when we're troubled, right? When we have questions, we learn to surface them, okay? We have to recognize that every moment is a teachable moment, okay? And what I would say is this, is that there's a lot of times we just don't think God is with us in that moment, okay? But what if God was in that moment, okay? So what if, like, when you're stuck on something, right? A lot of times we might be frustrated, we might be like, God must not be in this situation, because if God was in the situation, he would make it smooth, right? But what if when you're stuck is when God wants you to say, teach me your ways, Lord? Okay, so I quoted one of my favorite verses, Psalm 25, verse 4 through 5, which says, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Okay. I find myself praying this a lot. Lord, you know, teach me your paths. Teach me your ways. Okay. I just wrote down some things, some times where God is actually going to teach us. So when we're stuck, when something is just not right, I don't know how to describe it, but you just feel it's, maybe it's in a relationship, it doesn't feel right, okay? Or you find yourself in a season of life, and you're like, I wish I was in a better place. Okay. We talked about this word drift. When you've drifted from where you actually want to be, or where you actually want to go, and you find yourself a little lost, okay, you're off track. Okay. Maybe you are suffering. Maybe you're in a valley. Okay? These are just things that off the top of my head I just listed, okay? But I'm sure you could fill in with things that you go through. Okay? My point is that a lot of us, we think God is not there when we're in these situations. Okay? But what we know is that God is always with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. His name, one of his other names is Emmanuel, God with us. Okay? And what we want to do is we want to develop a habit of constantly turning to God in every moment and say, teach me your ways, O Lord. Okay? And really, there's many ways God speaks to us and teaches us, but the two primary ways we want to grow in is learning through his word, being taught through his word, okay, and being taught through the Holy Spirit, okay? And I know if you've been coming to BCF, you've heard this a million times, but we all need to cultivate the daily habit of having quiet time with the Lord, where we are reading the Word of God, and we're saying, teach me your ways, Lord, through this. Just teach me something, you know? And we ask, you know, we say a simple prayer, Holy Spirit, teach me your ways. We're not using our experience. We're not leveraging how smart we are, how much Bible we know. We are directly depending on the Holy Spirit. We say, teach me, Lord. Guys, once God begins to teach us personally,
Okay? You won't turn to any other thing. Okay? It's hard, but it takes time. But we just depend on God to do that. He will do that. Okay? You just do it. Give him time. And he begins to teach us. The word of God is the most powerful thing ever. Okay? In Psalm 51, I don't think I have it in your notes, but it says in verse 13, it says, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. The amazing thing is that the word of God can cause the worst sinner and the worst transgressor to change. It's unbelievable how powerful the word of God is, okay? But we have to allow. It's not sufficient for us to go on the internet and find some knowledge, okay? All it does then is then it stays in the outer heart. Okay, we can fill our outer heart with a lot of Bible knowledge, a lot of whatever, but there's a difference between God teaching us truth and wisdom in the inner heart and us filling our outer heart with something similar, okay? And once we understand that distinction, we'll never be satisfied with just things hitting us in the outer heart, okay? Yeah. Find a secret place where the secret heart is taught. The Holy Spirit, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit is another helper. He's another counselor. The Spirit of truth, and the Holy Spirit is that will teach you all things. You know, so as I'm teaching this, like I'm trying to apply this in my own life, right? So, I'll just share a story. So there's been something that's been bothering me a lot, and it's that I haven't seen a doctor in a few years, okay? Even though I have insurance, okay? It's dumb because like I'm in my mid-40s. And there could be something really wrong inside of me. I mean, I could have cancer right now, and I wouldn't know it. And so that's dumb. And then, so if you don't know it, you have this anxiety, and you're like, well, but I have a lot of reasons for not going to the doctor. Right? Because, see, I found this one group, and I signed up for this doctor, and then he left. So I got the next guy. And then so I went to see him when I was 40, but then he left, right? And then I got assigned this like female doctor, and I went to see her when I was like 42. I was like, I don't really want to see a female doctor, okay? And that's just me, okay? I just want to see a male doctor. But they have no guys in that office. I don't know why. They all left. So it's like five women doctors. So then, I'm going to finish at 8 o'clock. So I prayed, you know. I said, Lord, I need to find a doctor. Okay? And because sometimes, like, there's some of us, you're very good about going to doctors. Anyone here? You just go regularly, right?
Yeah.
Right? But then there's a lot of us, because, like, I grew up never going to a doctor. I was an immigrant. We're poor, we never went to see a doctor. So going to a doctor is like a scary thing. And so,
They might find something.
Exactly. But I prayed, but I know like I should pray, I should surface these things in my heart, turn it to God. I prayed and I looked up and I found three doctors. I called all three of them, and then one of them I said, okay, you know, how do you know God is leading you to a doctor? I don't know. But I just said, okay, well, just lead me. So I found this doctor, and but then like the lady on the phone said one thing, said, we only take this kind of insurance. And it wasn't exactly my insurance, but I switched anyways. And then so my insurance card finally came. And then I found, once I got it, I found myself being very, very, very anxious. Okay, and I was like, what's going on? And so I just started to surface the questions or issues of my heart. And it's because, like, what if this doctor says, you made a mistake, we don't take your insurance?
Okay.
And then I just felt God say, just call them on Monday. Just call them and make an appointment. Tell them what insurance you have. Just call them. Okay. And if they don't accept you, then you find another doctor. Right? But for some of us, that's obvious, but for me, that's like wisdom from God, because like I would never have those on my own. Because on my own, I would be like anxious, and I would never make that appointment. That's what a lot of people do. Okay? But then as I prayed longer, I realized, you know, the reason I don't like to go to the doctor is because I don't like to face the reality that I'm actually going to die at a certain point, of my mortality.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense to you.
Yeah.
Okay. Some of us in here are so young that you don't care about that, right? But some of us have gone past that middle point where you're like, from here on, right? And so you think about that, and I realized it's, you know, but I turned to God. I was being honest. I was like, God, I'm actually, because I have a wife and I have kids. And what if I die next year? I really just, you know. And as I did that, I felt God saying, you know, he gave me Jeremiah 29, for I know the plans I have for you. Right? And the plans might be I only have a year, but now so I just started to reflect on that. Okay? But the point is that that's just an example of how I'm applying, guys, what I'm sharing with you. Okay? And that whatever you're stuck with might seem lame, but that's where God wants to be your wonderful counselor. Okay? Don't hide those lame parts of your life. Okay? But some of us, most of us, we have some strong parts, but we all have some lame parts. Okay? And actually, those could be the areas where God wants to put truth and wisdom. Okay? So the questions for small group discussion. Number one is, usually the first question is to just get you guys talking. Okay? How have you begun to experience the transformation of your heart from a factory of sin to a storehouse of truth and wisdom? Okay? Second question is, which storehouse do you find yourself looking to fill? For this, just be honest, okay? But then once you're honest and you know, okay, I actually want to turn my eyes toward the storehouse of wisdom and truth, okay? And then the third is, how can you develop a posture of recognizing teachable moments in your life? And what makes you miss these moments? But then how can you turn the table and turn those into teachable moments where you're saying, God, teach me your ways. Okay?